Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, they say even the best teams will have terrible losses over the course of an NBA season. The Lakers better hope they don't have too many of their worst than Wednesday's loss to the heretofore winless Oklahoma City Thunder. 123-115 was the final. A lot of disturbing stuff coming out of this one, including another missed game for LeBron James. We'll talk about it all coming up next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We got the new podcast up for you. Of course, you can check it out on YouTube as well at the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, which we encourage everybody to subscribe to. And thank you to those of you who already have. I suspect, Andy, the comments on the YouTube channel for Thursday are going to be angry. I mean, the Lakers played an inspirational first quarter Wednesday night, up 41-19. They built a lead as large as 26.
No, they didn't just play an inspirational first quarter, Brian. They played an inspirational almost first half with, with 3.5 minutes left in the first half. They were up 70-44. That's a 26-point lead that started to get chipped away as they were heading into the locker room at halftime. You still didn't necessarily get a sense that the Lakers were going to lose this game, but you did get a sense of, all right, they at least have to just talk amongst themselves in the locker room and say, all right, get back to doing what was working. We're playing a winless team that, quite frankly, the franchise would prefer to stay that way. And, you know, Thunder, to their credit, did anything but fold up the tents and say, screw it. They played their asses off, and as the game went along, and this is something thematically we're going to get into a lot too, just the idea of composure, they had way more composure in the second half of this game than the Lakers, and that made a really big difference for them.
Well, I mean, it's what's funny about this, like the Thunder don't have a lot of reason to be confident. I made the joke during the game, there are at least six players on this team that they could, I don't know when Oklahoma City plays again, you know, Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, where they could come out and put different people in the jersey of the player that was playing tonight, like swap out Gabriel Deck for another human being, and literally nobody would know the difference. Like, no, there aren't 10 people in the league who would credibly be able to say, guys, wait a minute, that's not Gabriel Deck. But what's funny about it, like, hold on.
I mean, to be honest, he kind of looks like Giddy with a haircut.
He kind of, I mean, like, these people could be anybody. They're all made up people. You know, Jeremiah Robinson Earl is a made up person. Congratulations on making it to the league. But, like, the point of what I think is interesting about what you were saying there is that they played with so much more confidence. The composure, you could talk, like, I think in some ways with the Lakers, the lack of it over the course of the second half, which I guess culminated in an ejection for Russell Westbrook on a semi-controversial Darius Bazley slam dunk at the buzzer, which we're going to talk about here in a second. I think part of the reason that Oklahoma City looked so much more composed is that they looked so much more confident in what they were doing, whether that was earned or not. The Lakers in the second half of this game on Wednesday night looked so unsure of themselves on both sides of the ball. When Oklahoma City started to make their push in the third quarter, coming out of halftime, you know, like you say, they should have had the talk with each other. Let's buckle down, get back to it. You know, they've made their run. It's time to focus again. Okay, took our foot off the gas, put it back on. Oklahoma City's outscored them 41-23 in the third, including run straight out of the locker room.
Yeah.
The Lakers through five games have had some bad third quarters, but this one was catastrophic. And I was struck by the lack of confidence in what they were doing. I'm not surprised that they're not confident, but it was stark watching this game Wednesday.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of times, you know, there a lot of times, because we've covered a lot of teams over the years. We've covered championship teams. You know, we covered the entirety of Kobe's
less than championship teams.
Yes, but you know, we covered the second half of Kobe's career. So we covered the Kobe Powell era, and you know, there will be a lot of times where things were going sideways and the Kobe Powell teams would abandon the triangle. And by they would abandon the triangle, I mean Kobe would abandon the triangle. And, you know, he would definitely break the offense constantly. But while doing that, he still knew his teammates backwards and forwards. They knew each other backwards and forwards. So they have a foundation that you can abandon. And you really can only do that once that foundation is built. So when those teams would break the, you know, break the triangle, break the system, they're going outside the plan with a purpose and with like a knowledge of each other. When you watch the Lakers in the second half of this game start just going really ISO heavy, start, you know, really settling for bad shots, stop, you know, stop paying attention to the details, that speaks, you know, not just to a lack of confidence in what they were doing, it also though starts coming out like they don't know each other well enough to even do that. Like they don't know each other well enough to freelance.
Well, it's funny. Like, I don't know. Like, when you make that comparison with those Lakers and some of these other, like when a team like Golden State would come into Staples and somehow lose to the craptastic Lakers teams that we used to do radio pre and post game for,
the kids era.
Yes. Teams would come in and you could just tell they were just like, all right, we're not interested. We were partying last night, both, whatever it might be. And there's sort of an assumption that if we play 5 good minutes of basketball, this team will go away. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't, whatever. We got caught, move on to the next. It's interesting to try to figure out, like, these guys clearly aren't good enough to do that. There's no way that they've earned it. They're a weird combination of I think that they're a little better than they are, and sure, so they really should be better than they are. But also, like I said, there's a stark lack of confidence in what they're doing because they don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's not a mystery as to why this team doesn't look coherent on either side of the ball. And Anthony Davis, you know, said something interesting, I thought, at the end of the game, where he was asked about, you know, the offense, which, by the way, I mean, you know, say what you will about the defense, the offense went 41, 31, 23, 20. If there was a fifth quarter, they'd have scored 13 points. You know, so the offense is very, the defense is very problematic, but so is the offense. And Davis said, you know, what you would expect. I'm not worried about the offense. We've been a team that's been in the middle of the pack or below all year on the defensive end. We have to get better at that first. Okay. But they don't have enough coherence right now, I think, to be particularly good at any. Like, we talked about it after the Memphis game. I thought, Andy, like, this, that was a game where outstanding individual play pushed them to victory in a game that they very nearly lost anyway. You know, they're really close to being winless this year, after not winning a game in the preseason. They, you know, they lost on Wednesday. They almost lost the overtime game against San Antonio. They very nearly lost that game against Memphis.
They're close to firing Mike Brown twice.
They are. Just bring him back to let him go. But you understand, like
Steve Kerr's like, you know, you can't do that. He's on my staff.
It is, you know, it's, they are in a worrisome state, not just because they lost this game and not because of just where they are in the schedule. They are in a place where improving is going to continue to be hard because, as we mentioned, LeBron didn't play on Wednesday. We don't know when he's necessarily going to come back, but they're still missing a ton of other guys, and this is deeply problematic. We'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of make and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you need in a chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership anyway, dummy? You can get it for far less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. It's only $216 from Rock Auto. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So whether it's for a classic or a daily driver, get everything you need. Few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See everything that's available for your car or truck, and then write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Locked On Lakers, also brought to you by betonline.ag. Football, basketball, it's all there. And, you know, basketball, it's back and better than ever. A new web interface, Andy. Do you know what an interface is?
Not a clue. I got a new one. Inside of your face.
No, that's an interface.
Oh.
An interface well, in that case, is the thing no. you engage with on the internet there when you're on the website, whatever. Like, but anyway, basketball season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Interface. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. So from basketball, football, baseball, the World Series going on, NHL, boxing, UFC, right up to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 sports year. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports favorite. Bet Online, where the games start. So yeah, we got some continuity questions to talk about, but one more thing on focus.
Yeah, it was interesting during the game when the Lakers were up really big early on. It struck me as a potential opportunity for them, and I tweeted out at Cam Brothers, the Lakers have put themselves in a place where if they stay focused enough, they can maintain a level of professional veteran cruise control, which is important on the second end of a back-to-back without LeBron, and at least some concern about Anthony Davis's knee, the knee that he had banged up a bit in the previous night's win in San Antonio. He had originally been described as a game time decision, but then Frank Vogel, like 5 minutes after saying it was a game time decision, said that Anthony Davis was going to play. So that's right. The quickest.
And played, by the way, to his credit, played very well on Wednesday. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Yeah, made 6 of 7 free throws. He wasn't the reason they lost.
No, I thought down the stretch he kind of settled a bit, like everybody. But on
he did,
balance,
but
yes,
he was not the he was hardly the problem.
No, he was not the problem. But I tweeted out right after that update, the cruise control was neither veteran nor professional enough. Mm-mm, and no. I got a cop to not recognizing in that moment. I think just like the Lakers themselves, they're not ready for that. Like the idea of putting it in cruise control as a veteran experienced team with high aspirations, that is an art. And, you know, very good teams do that. Like the idea that championship teams never take their foot off the gas.
Always take their foot off. Constantly.
Yes.
It is a constant exercise of measuring the required effort to win in different moments. There's no question.
Right. But it's something that you got to build yourself towards. And it doesn't matter how much collective experience you have, how many collective rings you have in that locker room. It's still part of a building process. And like I said, I didn't recognize it in the moment of sending that tweet.
Well, yeah, yes and no. But no, but you are correct. Any team, and I am including the Oklahoma City Thunder, when staked to a 26-point lead 3 minutes before halftime, should win the game.
Absolutely.
And it's not a, you know, that the problem here, and I don't think you're wrong at all, but what I think is what this is indicative of is even at a full roster, and I want to make sure we have time to talk about Russ. I want to make sure we have time to talk about other things, but even with a full roster, the Lakers, we all knew we're going to be a team that they're going to kind of have to figure it out, mix and match. You have a suboptimal group of defenders as you create your lineups, and you know you're trading offense or defense for offense because the team needed that. And both of us agree with that.
Yes.
But like, you know, I saw some comments. I was, you know, had a couple back and forth. People tweet us at Cam Brothers. We like to be interactive as much as we can during games, whatever it might be. You know, like they're going with the Rondo Westbrook backcourt again. You got Rondo Westbrook and Melo out on the floor again, like, you know, with Malik Monk. And like, yes, like what is Frank doing? Okay. Like, I agree that this is not a good lineup. Like, this is not what the lineup you need when you need to get stops. They also need to score because they're not scoring either. And also, you don't have other players.
I was going to say, so, they have to put 5 people on the court. And at times, guys got to rest.
I don't know. Do you? I mean, I watched Hoosiers. My team is on the floor. I think you're supposed to play 5, but maybe you don't have to. The larger point is that they have a continuity problem that I am starting to become concerned about. Like there are, you know, I like the fact that Austin Reeves is getting real playing time and an opportunity to show that, you know what, okay, here's somebody that could be a useful player this year, and this is valuable experience. Blah, blah, blah. Malik Monk was somebody that we weren't sure was going to have a chance to play much in the early in the season. If everyone's healthy, he's having a chance to establish himself in a way that, and if this were like two or three games or four games, or whatever, we knew, all right, in a week, everyone's going to be back. And now you have these, it's going to be another week and a half, at least 2 weeks, you know, before Kendrick Nunn is back. Trevor Ariza is not going to be back for a while. THT is not going to be back for a little while. We don't know how many more games LeBron is going to miss. Hopefully not that many. Wayne Ellington, haven't seen him yet. Like
LeBron, by the way, just is officially listed as day-to-day. Just so people know.
Right. So Friday's game against Cleveland, which, you know, Cleveland just beat the Clippers tonight, Wednesday night, you know, by 13. So, and they're 3-2, or I believe they are now, but you know, so is, again, is any team a team that you could just look at the Lakers and say, wow, that's a pretty easy win? Not after Wednesday, I wouldn't think. And it's going to be a while before the Lakers have a rotation that looks like the rotation that they hoped to have at the beginning of the year. And every game that goes by where they're unable to do that, every practice, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. I'm not talking about scuttling their title chances, but every day that goes by chips some tiny degree out of their total ceiling, because it's that many more reps that they can't get, and that many more play time, that much more time that the big three and the supporting cast and Frank Vogel have to figure out what works best and when. And it's disturbing to me that it's going to be at least a couple weeks or into November before we even have a chance to see what this looks like with most of the players available.
Yeah, it's funny. We, a few podcasts ago, Brian, talked about how this slate of six games that they began after the Memphis win were ones that you would look at as like a winnable opportunity for a team that is at half strength.
But San Antonio, two games against Oklahoma City, two games against Houston, and the Cleveland game, which I just mentioned.
But the reality is, and I, like a lot of things, this is sort of turning into a mea culpa podcast. Like there were things that I did not recognize in the moment. Like the reality is this team is currently in survival mode, period. Like that's
right. That in fairness, at the time, LeBron wasn't missing. But, so we didn't know LeBron wasn't going to play. These games are different if he does, obviously.
They're different if he does. But I think I still, even with the caveat of expecting LeBron to be on the court, I think I gave too much credence to the idea of how we saw the schedule breaking when the schedule was first released a few months ago. And we didn't realize who wouldn't be available for this team. We didn't realize who wouldn't be available in the preseason training camp, all that stuff. I think it is more helpful, if nothing else, more realistic to just think about this period right now really as survival mode. Like
I think you're right about having to think about it that way now, but I also think the concept of this was, and you know, is that, and it goes back to the Memphis game where Carmelo Anthony, 28 points from Melo. AD played a spectacular game that night. You know, Russ, relatively speaking, was good that night compared to the other two games, at least. That they would be good enough individually to paper over their mistakes and their lack of continuity, their lack of cohesion, and all this other stuff, that you could do those things and be kind of a collection of individual talent that is so good that it would be okay. And I think, you know, that is sort of how I think everybody would expect them to be able to get through the early season. The problem is, and you know, maybe this is a good seg to get back to Russ. They're not good enough individually either. Like, you know, Anthony Davis was excellent tonight. So on a night where LeBron isn't there, you go back to how did Russell play? He got off to a great start, but in the second half of Wednesday's game, he wasn't good. The turnovers were way too loose. You know, the Lakers had 17 turnovers. Russ had 10 of them. You know, the Lakers didn't turn the ball over like crazy on Wednesday. Westbrook did. And his shot selection, I thought, in the second half got worse. I think he started to press more in the second half than the first. So let's talk about that next, because Westbrook's play, if you're going to be a team that gets by on outstanding individual play until the team comes together, particularly when LeBron doesn't play, Westbrook's got to be great. And he wasn't on Wednesday. So let's talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Postmates. You know what food smells best to me? Just, it's simple. Food. Like all food. But it smells extra best when it shows up at my door because I ordered it from Postmates. Like with Postmates, you get all of your favorite foods from your local restaurants delivered easy. It's simple. And Postmates, it's not just burritos and sushi. You can order other things like toothpaste, phone chargers on demand too. It's because places like Walgreens, 7-Eleven, they're also on Postmates. My favorite part though is when the app lets me know that the food and the items have been delivered. Everything's right outside my door. It's amazing. So just download Postmates on iOS or on Android. Find out your favorite foods or that one thing that you forgot to get from the store. Get it delivered on demand for a limited time. Postmates is giving our listeners a little something. New customers get 50% off their first five orders of $50 or more by using the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Get 50% off your first five orders of $50 or more. That's a max savings of $100 per order. So just download the Postmates app. Sign up online. It's really, really easy. The offer is subject to change. Taxes, fees apply. The offer is valid for 30 days after you add the promo code to your account.
Andy, nobody likes to talk about excessive sweating or really any kind of sweating, but definitely not excessive sweating, sweating through shirts for no reason, ruining clothes, and just having the anxiety that knows that you might be a person with a sweating problem. Or even if you're not an excessive sweater on a day-to-day basis, I am not. Everybody has those moments of high pressure, or you know, it could be a big job interview, a first date, whatever it might be, where nerves get going. All of a sudden, it's like boom, 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 boom. You're sweating in ways that you typically don't. Which, by the way, all of a sudden you feel 10 times more conscious of the fact that you're sweating profusely than you normally would. Maybe if you were, you know, whatever. So, like
people say, don't talk about elephants. Don't think about elephants.
Don't exactly. Now, know what you're doing, Andy. You're thinking about elephants. Exactly. And so, for any of those situations, whether it's chronic or for a more specific need, you use sweat block. Antiperspirant wipes. These things are doctor created, doctor recommended. They work for up to 7 days per use. They come with a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. They are featured and tested on the Rachel Ratio by actual firefighters. And it's been a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. It's guaranteed. So get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code Locked On or at Amazon and CVS. The part of the reason the Lakers got off to such a huge lead in the first half, really, of certainly the first quarter, and then deeper into the second quarter on Wednesday, was the fact that they were hitting shots. They were they started 5 of 7 from 3-point range. The Lakers are almost always going to look good when they're hitting their threes. After that, I believe they were 6 of 28 from three. That is less good. They were getting some defensive stops. They were able to get out and run. The turnovers were limited. So the offense was flowing in a way. They were moving the ball around and they were hitting their 3-point shots. And in doing so, they are making their defense better. Their defense is not completely just predicated on, how well they get stops and all that. It's also what kind of shots are you getting? Where are they coming from? Are you balanced the other way? And are you not turning the ball over? And in the second half, they put themselves in transition defense. You know, there was that awful play where Russ goes, drives into four guys, jumps up in the air, and just throws the ball backwards to no one. That ended up, a bucket the other way. And if it was like two possessions later, he turns the ball over in transition again, as the Lakers were imbalanced. That kind of stuff cannot happen. There's a certain looseness, Andy, that we've talked about with LeBron and Russ, because they're going to push and play with pace and try things that maybe other players wouldn't. But they got to be way more careful. And by they, in Wednesday, I mean Westbrook, needs to be way more careful because they are, like you said before, aren't good enough to put themselves in compromising positions on the defensive side of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, Russ, we know is capable of it because he only had 3 turnovers against San Antonio. I mean, it was
handling the ball just as much.
Right. I mean, it was by far his best game as a Laker, his most complete game as a Laker, but it was also his most under control game as a Laker. And you know, in a place where he's still trying to figure out exactly how he fits in with everybody else. And you look at Russ's general temperament, which is 100 miles an hour at all times, you know, whether you're talking about his speed on the court or I think like mentally, like he, you know, he's like, we've talked before how Dwight personality wise, in terms of just like the exterior, trying to please everybody, trying to make everybody love him, is always on. Russ's personality is always on, at least around basketball, in a very different way. Like, he, you know, it is, for better and worse, incredibly intense. Like, you know, and there are times where it may be a little bit too intense for his own good. Like, you know, it's that same, we saw this actually, you know, and it's fitting that you would compare him to Kobe, because Kobe used to compare Westbrook to himself all the time. Kobe was a massive, massive Westbrook fan. The stuff that makes both of those guys like once in a generation forces on the court and so incredibly difficult to stop and so relentless in the way they went about their game was occasionally what would undo them on the court as well too.
Well, you know? Mean, look, Westbrook's give a bleep factor is off the charts. Like nobody is going to accuse Russ of not caring enough.
Yeah. Like, and, just like and, Kobe.
Right. And, you know, what's funny about this is like, you know, we haven't mentioned this was Westbrook's first triple double as a Laker.
Quadruple. Like for all,
he had a quadruple double. That is true.
Yeah. He had 10 turnovers to go with the 20 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. I was hoping with like 5 minutes left in the game that he would grab an extra 9 steals just so he could get the quintuple double.
I wish you could have an, like it was summer league. You could have an unlimited amount of fouls and then he could have 10 fouls and have a septuple double or something like that. And just keep piling it on like positives and negatives. And, you know, like I am of the opinion, like people talk about Westbrook as a guy who sometimes like puts up empty stats. Like, you know, yeah, he averaged a triple double, but you know, but it is, you know, triple doubles don't mean everything. It does, like, but it is hard to be an unproductive player who averages a triple double. Like that's just a lot, you know, it's a lot of numbers and statistics and tangible things that you're doing on a court. But I will say,
well, especially too, because as much as Russ's game has not literally translated to a championship and Russ has had issues in the playoffs, if you look at the entirety of Russ's career, there has been way, way more winning than losing.
Like, oh, absolutely.
We tend to underrate how hard winning is at this level.
We live in a world where people talk about the, you know, the Kobe, Shaq, Malone, Peyton year as a just catastrophic failure. They went to the finals.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but that's how we frame stuff.
Yeah,
but like
winning gets devalued, oddly enough, because we put so much stock in winning.
Right.
Like it's a weird thing, but Russ has done a lot.
Exactly. He has. And, but I, so like it is impossible to be an unproductive player. There's no such thing as a season's worth of empty triple doubles. But I will say just because you get a triple double doesn't mean you played a great game. And Westbrook on Wednesday did not play a great game. Certainly not all the way through. And he didn't play the game that the Lakers needed him to play. And so you look at the, you know, Anthony Davis did enough for them to be able to win. And Westbrook looked like he was going to, but then stopped. And you look around, Carmelo Anthony, 13 points, 1 of 8 from 3-point range. Malik Monk finished with 9. And generally, I thought played pretty well, but it was fairly front loaded.
He started hotter than he finished.
Than he finished. 1 of 5 from 3-point range. And then you kind of look
He had a couple nice plays down the stretch. I thought actually the last couple games he's done a good job moving the ball and stuff like that. But again, he started.
At what point are you also asking Malik Monk to do things that you shouldn't be asking him to do carrying a team like this?
Yeah.
When you are built around superstars and you have moments where one of your superstars isn't there or whatever, it's incumbent on the other two to be great, particularly when the team isn't. Like, and you know, and you look up and the Lakers, like the holes in the Lakers offense, Westbrook, I don't have the number in front of me, but it was, you know, against San Antonio, he lived at the rim. You and Mo talked about it a lot. And it was, you know, like he was finishing and aggressive and lived at the rim. On Wednesday, he took 8 3-pointers of his 20 shots and he made 2 of them. And, you know, he was much more elbow, perimeter, pull-up mm-hmm. jumper than he was finishing at the rim. And as a team, the Lakers were 11 of 35 from three-point range. Again, after starting 5 of 7. They only took 14 free throws. So it's like, okay, well, what are they doing? Okay.
To your point, Russ had 8 three-pointers in this game against OKC, the loss. Mm-hmm. To that point, the most he had ever taken in a game is 4. And, yep. you know, we've both said, actually, that Russ had, you know, he's not shooting the three well at all, but he had been up to this game pretty judicious in the threes that he took. Like, right. He wasn't taking a ton of them. You'd like to see more of them go down in a perfect world. Russ doesn't really take any of them, but, you know, there's a certain amount of this that just
right. And even, Andy, as you would expect his shot volume to go up without LeBron there, that doesn't necessarily mean you want his three-point right. volume to go up.
And, okay, we also, we got to get into the thing with Darius Bazley.
Okay, let's finish with that because, yeah, I mean, look, this was a terrible game.
Hilarious.
This game on Wednesday was a terrible game that is, if they were better, I would say you throw it out and whatever. And ultimately, I think it's just symptomatic of the larger problems that they're going to have for a while, which is they don't have any kind of continuity. Westbrook isn't comfortable enough yet to, you know, to kind of carry them. And the supporting cast is deeply flawed, particularly on defense, which is going to make all of this very hard. Darius Bazley.
So the closing seconds of the game, Rondo, I believe it was, inbounds the ball. It gets stolen by Darius Bazley, who takes it all the way to the other basket.
There are five seconds left in the game.
Throws down a dunk, and Westbrook takes big time exception to this, starts getting all up in Bazley's face, you know, saying that, you know, you don't do that, don't do that. Russ ends up getting ejected. And afterwards, I'm reading a tweet from Bill Orem. Russell Westbrook calls himself, quote, old school when it comes to Darius Bazley's steal and dunk. Russ, quote, when shit like that happens, I don't let it slide. There's certain things you don't do in sports. Game already over, and I didn't like it. Simple as that. And this is obviously a reference to one of the bajillion unwritten rules, this one being, I guess, you don't show up an opponent. It's kind of hilarious coming from Russ, who is as demonstrative and yappy a player as the NBA has. He will often pretend to rock a baby when he scores, looking right at the opponent he scored against or the other team's best player, and he is showing up that opponent, and so it's clear, I'm fine with it. Okay. Whatever.
I don't care about any of these
things.
I don't care.
Like, sometimes I think trash talk and celebrations are fun. Sometimes I think they're kind of lame. Get over yourself. Either way, good with them. Don't care. They definitely don't offend me. But you can't be Russ doing your antics over the course of your entire career and then also be the guy that objects to the antics. Can't have it both ways. You know, like, if one of the unwritten rules is to not show up an opponent, another one is, don't blow a 26-point right. lead. It kind of cancels each other out.
I think a lot. I'm not saying all of it. I just think a healthy portion of what we saw in terms of Westbrook's frustration at that play is they just blew a 26-point lead. He knows he didn't play well down the stretch. Turned the ball over 10 times in the game overall. And I think some of that is just the frustration of that coming out.
I guess. Not all of it. Same time, man. Are you telling me Russ has never rocked the baby at a point where his team's just pouring it on?
Are you asking me to say that, like, Russ is not being hypocritical here? No. But I'm just saying, I think to some extent, I think what we saw at the end of the game was indicative of what the Lakers had just done or had done to them or whatever. Should you, with the sportsmanlike thing, in that situation for Bazley just to dribble out the clock? Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously. Oklahoma City hasn't won a game.
It's their first win. Right.
They just came back from 26 points against the Lakers. And by the way, they just won their first game of the year. May not win another one.
Okay.
Like, there's no guarantee.
Speaking of that too.
Go dunk the ball, Darius Bazley. Like, they're excited. You know,
right. Darius Bazley's like 14 years old.
I was about to say, the average age on that team is 7.
But,
you know, Josh Giddey is the 7th oldest player on that team. He's 19.
Here's the other thing, too. One of our followers, Gregory Dunbar, tweeted at me because I had tweeted out the idea of the other unwritten rule is don't blow a 26-point lead, which mm-hmm. cancels out the unwritten rule Darius Bazley apparently broke. And he said to me that it was a BS play by Bazley. Mark your calendar for the next game. To which I responded, no. Like, the Lakers actually were the first team that showed disrespect. And they did that way earlier in the game by deciding that they didn't really need to bother trying anymore. And the Baisley dunk is a red herring players for the actual story.
Players are going to play. It's like, Andy, when, you know, you don't like when the other team, you know, throws a pass with, you know, you're down by 30 in the fourth quarter and the backup quarterback throws a, you know, a completion or whatever. They're still pushing the ball downfield. The solution to that problem is not making the backup quarterback who never gets to play just hand the ball off 30 times or whatever. The solution, don't fall behind by 30.
Right.
Don't get your ass kicked.
Like, I'm totally cool, by the way, with there being some spice to this next game with the Thunder, because like anything that can make a game between the Lakers and a likely still one win Thunder team more interesting, like I'm cool with that.
Sure.
But the idea that the Lakers somehow became victims after the Baisley dunk, that's horseshit. Shut up. Stop it.
All right. So the Lakers are not going to practice on Thursday. They are apparently
they are as good at it as they need to be. To be fair, they are exhausted. They can't afford anybody to get hurt.
Right. Back to back, missing half their roster. Got a game on Friday. You wouldn't expect them to practice even if they'd won both of these games. But anyway, so the Lakers don't practice on Thursday. We are going to have plenty to talk about with LeBron. Look around the league, try to figure out exactly what else is going on. I want to thank everybody for subscribing again to the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. Spread the word there if you can. And remember, make us your first listen every day. We'll see everybody on Friday.